Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at, December 24th. And, tis the day before Christmas all through the house. Well, my two daughters are trying to be quiet as a mouse. And that's pretty difficult since they're absolutely hyped up to the nines with anticipation of Christmas. Well, let's wish just a peaceful, happy holiday season to anyone who's listening, and a prosperous 2015 to come. Well, today in Asia, the majority of markets were still open. I think the Indian market was closed. The Chinese market was down in the region of 2%. I think it was 2% on the CSI 300 and a bit less than that on the Shanghai A shares. Well, that has to be put in the context of just how firm the market has been over the last 3 months, that we've had this remarkable breakout, that it's that a short-term overbought condition was evident about 3 weeks ago. We had a big downward dynamic, and then it just ran on to a new recovery high, but that we're now getting a little bit of a consolidation of that really very impressive breakout. Well, I guess if we want to look at another market that had a similar breakout 18 months ago, well, it would have been Japan. You had that very similar condition in the market where it had just been deteriorating for a long time and that no one was particularly interested. You had a catalyst in Japan's case in the form of the weak yen, and the market just took off. Well, for China, the opening up of the Shanghai-Hong Kong Connect was enough to shake investors out of their somnolence, really, relative to the Chinese market. Well, most of the money so far has flowed from Hong Kong into the mainland, not so much towards Hong Kong, which would at least help to explain the Hong Kong's underperformance relative to the mainland recently. But, well, Hong Kong still has these remarkably low valuations. You'd have to bet that at some point in 2015 that those are going to start to be realized by internationally focused investors. Well, the Chinese market, then, we can anticipate we're going to get at least some consolidation of what has been just a remarkable breakout over the last 3 months. Well, Japan, on the other hand, had had the breakout, then it went through this rather long period of consolidation. Well, it just broke out of the most recent range a couple of weeks ago, and, well, it was up an additional 1.25% in here today, that we're seeing the Japanese market pushing on to new high ground, and at least part of the reason for that has been the relative strength of the dollar, and the yen is it's still pretty weak and is actually trading weaker now than 120. Well, that 120 area was a psychological area of support for the yen, and part of the reason for that is that people would have been looking at it and saying, well, the when it goes through 100, where do you think it's going to go next? Well, people say 110, they'd say 120, they're not going to say 119.5 or 120.5, they just say the big round number. Well, we've seen it steady around the 120 area, but now it's weakening once more. When you look around the world, there's a lot of reasons that the dollar is being favored by investors, but of course you had record expansion in the third quarter for the US economy, you have the consumer returning to form, the lower oil price really feeding through to the consumer in the US, and of course the consumer is such a huge proportion of the of GDP that it's very, very important indeed. Well, when you look at the pace of the advance on Wall Street, well then, the S&P 500 is up about 12%, well, almost 13% on the year. It was up about 30% last year. The pace of the advance hasn't really picked up. But when you look at the NASDAQ, well, there is a pretty obvious increase in the pace of the advance. It's up about 14% this year, and well, we're within striking distance of all-time highs. When you click through the constituents of the NASDAQ, you're presented with obviously some shares that have done remarkably well, and particularly in the biotechnology sector. Biogen broke out to new highs again this week. You have Bristol-Myers Squibb doing very similar. These are still really quite consistent trends. Well, Gilead Sciences had pulled back very sharply this week, and I think, you know, when you're charging $1,000 a treatment for your drugs, well, you can't be that surprised if you're going to get a little bit of resistance at that price point. But this is really the area where the share would need to find support, and it was rallying again in here today. But when you have such you've already had such a very large move, then you do have to become diligent with the stops and really watch the consistency of the trend. Well, you have these shares that have done remarkably well, but then you also have those that are really only now just breaking out of basis. And, well, I posted a number of those in Comment of the Day yesterday, that the NASDAQ continues to offer us this rich seam of just a progression of companies that are breaking out of basis. That 6 months ago, it was Intel and Texas Instruments. Well, at the moment, it's EMC Corp. Looks like it's just about to break out. And, well, you can see that if you just click through, that there's lots and lots of these companies that have been in these very long periods of ranging and are increasingly looking like they're going to break out. Well, that speaks towards the just the pace of technological innovation, that we really are in a very exciting period in terms of development. So, well, that also helps to explain the outperformance of Wall Street, that the only markets that have come close are the Chinese market and the Indian market this year, that the majority of Europe is up in local currency terms but down in US dollar terms. Well, a good example of that would be the Swiss market, which was up 10% in local currency terms and down 0.5% in US dollar terms. Well, when you then think about it in terms of the global investor, well, a global investor likes to shoot fish in a barrel. The global investor likes to have a little checklist and say, well, I'd like to have currency market appreciation, capital market appreciation, and yield in my favor. Well, Europe's stock markets have got reasonably constructive chart patterns, but their ability to outperform is at least partially predicated on the currency remaining weak. Europe has got this deflationary problem that, well, we still don't know what's going to happen with the Greek parliament. Are they going to be able to appoint a president before the end of the year? Well, if they can't, they're going to have an election, and, well, the outcome of that election is certainly uncertain. It's one of those known unknowns. Well, regardless of what happens in Greece, Europe has this deflationary problem, and they just need a weaker currency. They're probably going to have to take responsibility for their own monetary policy following the end of the Fed's QE program and start to print euros. Well, that's not bullish for the currency. And, well, if we see the euro deteriorating further, then we're going to see, quantitative easing has proven nothing other than that it is great for inflating asset prices. And, well, generally speaking, European asset prices are pretty depressed. So if we get a weaker euro, we get eurozone quantitative easing, then the a hedged approach to Europe will, from the perspective of a global investor, would probably not be a bad idea. That the playbook that was applied to Japan 2 years ago could easily be applied to Europe in here today. Well, when you think about where you have currency market risk, then you have commodity currencies have been really quite weak, that the chances of there being some kind of sovereign default event at some point in 2015 is non-trivial when you look at Latin America in particular. And, well, it's a pretty risky environment. But, of course, once you get the big devaluations and once commodity prices stabilize, well, then those will potentially offer rather attractive investment opportunities. But we're probably just not there yet. Natural gas today is down 14 cents. It's clipping the $3 area. Well, it's dropping, and, well, it's dropped aggressively over the last week in response to abnormally clement weather in North America. Well, the polar vortex that everyone was worried about at the beginning of the month has just dissipated. And oil prices are down an additional $1.67 as I speak. Well, they've been hovering here above the $55 level for the last 10 sessions. Well, it's just going to have to do better than that. That we have this progression of lower rally highs and progression of ranges that are a little bit less than $5, one below another, for the last 6 months. Well, you look at the consistency of the trend, and it really would have to rally by more than $5 to at least signal that demand is returning, that the shorts are under pressure, that some of the stops have been hit, and to shake the consistency of this trend. Well, considering that it is so oversold, that we've had such a rapid decline, that we are, and acceleration is a trend ending, then you'd have to conclude that we must be reasonably close to a low, but that we've no evidence, no conclusive evidence just yet that the price has bottomed. Well, an awful lot of bad news has already been priced into the sector, and well, the four of the worst performing shares, I think the bottom four worst performing shares in the S&P 500 this year, are energy related. Well, it's interesting because all four posted upside weekly key reversals last week. Well, at least somebody thought there was value there. At least somebody lost some money on their shorts. If we see oil prices stabilizing in this region, well, then there is potential for an additional bounce. Well, it's around this time of the year that you'll see often that you get something that has accelerated lower, begins to find support at the in the last 2 weeks of the year, and takes off in January. Well, the energy sector has really accelerated lower, and we're starting to see the first signs of support starting to come in. It is probably really worth keeping an eye on over the last week of the year. Well, the bond markets were very weak yesterday, and well, they're reasonably steady in here today. It's a very quiet day in the markets, but well, you're looking at that 10-year yield in the US pushing higher, that with this just benign economic environment and lower energy prices, is there an absolute need to have interest rates at 0%? Well, we're probably going to have the answer to that in 2015. But, well, it looks like a risky trade to be buying them at this level. And certainly, whether one is an adherent of the bullish or the bearish market, well, then there is a market hypothesis. There is the question then whether you need to be there at all. That obviously there are some people will need to have a position. There will other people will have will be of the other opinion and be wanting to short the market, but there is the alternative, is that when you look at this massive divergence in arguments, that do you really need to be there? And, well, personally, I don't think you need to be there. That we'll have conclusive evidence that the Treasury bull market has ended when the progression of higher reaction lows on the total return index breaks down. But we just haven't had that yet, and I really believe that there are easier trades out there than participating in the bond markets at all. Well, when you look at the commodity markets, then the lower oil price and the stronger dollar remain headwinds. And, well, it now means that commodities are trading on their individual merits, that one really does have to look at their fundamentals of the market and really look at the dynamics within it, rather than taking a straight bet one way, a bullish bet on the whole sector. That this really is a very, very big move. And, well, even if we do see oil prices stabilizing, that the likelihood of them spiking higher and getting back up into that overhead range is looking like an increasingly distant prospect. Well, with that, I wish all the best to all of you.